You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm David Watts Barton. Storm Large made her name by living up to it, creating an onstage persona that is larger and louder than life as a solo act and with her band Storm Large and the Balls. She is best known for being a contestant on the TV show Rockstar Supernova, but she's performed with a number of acts, most recently filling in for the lead singer of Pink Martini last year. But her offstage story is considerably more complex even than that, and she reveals much about it in a just-published memoir, Crazy Enough. In it, she discusses her mentally ill mother, whose mental illness had a huge impact on her young daughter, as well as her childhood hypersexuality and later her addiction to heroin. She will be returning to Sacramento to perform tonight at Harlow's, but we have her on the phone right now. Storm Large, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, David. How you doing?
Good, good. This is quite a story that you tell in the book, and very well written as well. In it, you describe yourself as like an exposed nerve when you were a kid. And the epigraph of the book is, big girls were not built to walk the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
How does that, we should also say your full name is Susan Storm Large, so that is not a stage name.
No,
that's your real name.
It's my real name, but no one ever called me Susan growing up. It was always Storm.
And you sounded like you were quite a kid, although you describe it a little bit as that you were probably more stoic seeming to people than you actually were inside.
Well, no, I was loud, and I was I just seemed like I was okay because I was always cracking jokes. I was always singing songs, being really loud, and distracting from what was really going on beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm. And what was going on beneath the surface?
Oh, I was miserable. I was miserable. I was scared. I didn't know what was going on with my mother most of the time, and the rest of the time I wanted her to be fine and to come home, and then some of the time I just wanted her to go away and be gone forever. And in that, when you're having those feelings about your mother, the person who's supposed to love you the most, the person you're supposed to love the most, it's very confusing for a kid.
Mm-hmm. And you open the book actually with it's a fairly startling way to open the book, which is what you hear about your mother's death. What was your response like when you heard your mother died? And how long ago was that?
She passed in 2005, in December, and it was out of the blue. It was shocking. My brothers and I used to joke that she would outlive us all, as unhealthy and sick as she was, as she loved to be. And when my father told me that she had died, I couldn't believe, first of all, that she had died, and I couldn't believe, second of all, my immense relief at hearing she had passed. And that also brought on a great deal of shame and hurt that I could have a sense of relief that a sick person had died. I was very ashamed of that. But it's grief is a crazy thing. It's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she it sounds like the conflicting feelings are pretty intense. So you had there are a lot of great one-liners in the book, but one that particularly stood out to me was you said, "My mom loved me so much it made me feel famous."
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, we all want to be loved. We all as human beings collectively, we want to belong. That's why we have communities and we have civilization. We all want to belong to something, to someone. We all want to matter, and our first experience of that is our families, our mothers, our fathers. We want to matter. We want our lives to matter, and when you feel like you don't, or conversely, when you feel like your life is causing pain and illness to another person, that is it's a terrible way to exist. And even if it isn't true, you know, when you're a kid, you're the center of the universe, and everything begins and ends with you. So everything's your fault, and everything's your idea, and everything's so intense. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was very conflicting, strange time.
And you had keeping in mind that this is radio, you talk a lot about your sexuality as a child, and that you were very sexual at a very young age.
Yeah. Well, it was the only thing. Well, first of all, to be clear, I I didn't corner the market on being hypersexual when I was super young. I've babysat. We've all babysat nieces and nephews and babies and all little kids like touch themselves. It's not necessarily sexually oriented, but it feels good. You're exploring your body. You're a human being, and you've got fingers, and you're touching things, and some things feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know I'm not the only one who experienced that, but for me, it was pure escape and the only thing that kind of resembled relief from the anxiety and the pain going on around me. I kind of just went for it a little harder and heavier than most.
And the two of those things combined, and you're now you're in your early 40s, right?
Yeah, I'm 42.
So this combined into, it sounded like you went kind of wild for a long time, like a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of fed into your career even before the book. I mean, in some ways, it was very rock and roll.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, when I started to actually play in bands and sing for a career, I learned really quickly that you can't be messed up on drugs or drunk. At least I can't. I know this, you know, God bless Keith Richards, who can play and perform while he's high. I can't. I just can't. I perform like an athlete, so I have to just drink water, have a light dinner. You know, when you're actually a performer for a living, you can't be irresponsible with your body. And it was ironic that it was getting into rock and roll that got me away from drugs and irresponsible sexual behaviors.
Mm-hmm. You, and I should say we're talking with Storm Large, who will be performing and will be in shape to perform at 7 o'clock tonight. It's an it's an early show at Harlow's tonight at 7 o'clock. You actually go on, which is surprising because of your overall vibe is so rock and roll. I pictured you going on at about 11:30 or midnight.
No, I'm getting a little old, David. You know, I looked at the calendar. It's a show we did in L.A. and I'm like, oh man, we're going on at 9. That's so late. I like getting to bed, so it's good. I heard Harlow's is a beautiful place, so I'm excited to play there.
Yeah, it's a great club. Although you've played in Sacramento several times before, haven't you?
I have. Let's see. I played in Davis with UC Davis with Pink Martini. I've played the Sacramento Heritage Festival a couple of times when that was going on,
mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the red. What was it? The Blue Lamp.
You also played. You played off Broadway, right? Your this book is based on a stage show.
Yes, a one woman show that played in Portland and Scotland and Australia. We're tooling it for an off Broadway run. We've done it. We've done little dribs and drabs of it in New York City, but it's probably going to start having more of a life in the fall.
Oh, okay. And the book is tied in. This is all tied together. Do you play music in the show as well?
Yeah, the show is a musical memoir. It's a one-woman show with a band, and so it's songs and stories from the book.
And tonight's show is a concert.
Tonight is a concert, but I also do a little rap on Valentine's Day and the origins, and I do my little own twisted litany of love songs, and so it's a bit of a cabaret show about love and the real grit of love.
Going back to the book, do you plan to have children of your own?
You know, I haven't. I love kids, but I've never been one who was growing up saying, oh, I can't wait to be a mommy, because my mom was so broken. I was afraid that I might pass that along to a child or, you know, or go crazy myself. But I'm engaged to be married, and my fiance loves babies and absolutely is convinced that I'd be a wonderful mother. So it's an ongoing conversation, and no decisions have been made yet. But I am a little long in the tooth, so we're not. I only have like 5 or 6 eggs left, so we gotta get a move on if we're gonna make a human. But we're both really into adoption as well. There's so many kids out there that need homes. So
All right. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but you're going to be playing tonight at Harlow's at 7 o'clock. Storm Large, thanks so much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much, David. Hopefully we'll see you tonight.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Frank Zappa's son, Dweezil. We'll be right back.